On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-920 related to COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows some bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza@kingsvalleycharter2.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We're going to go into the voting procedures. When asking for a vote, please we'll do it by roll call, and you'll just have your name called. You can do A or nay. We're going to, at this point, move into office. We're going to move into staff introduction, starting with corporate officer.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Did you get me?
I got you. I got a little bit out of order here, so I've called the meeting to order. We need to call the roll. So, Nagrina, could you call the roll, please?
Arthur Rennie?
Here.
Julie Kaiches?
Here.
Charles Sinegada?
Here.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi?
Here.
That's great. We have a quorum. We'll go into the Pledge of Allegiance. Jackie, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Dan, if you can. Put your hand on your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, unbegot, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jackie. All right, now we're going to go into the staff introductions.
Again, I will thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Welcome, Jeff. Of school staff, anyone on school staff that wants to introduce themselves, please do.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Shelley Haynes, Area Superintendent.
Other school staff?
This
and
is.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. This is Chandra Loretta, the LCC of Hanford.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Ashley Taylor, LCC in Tulare.
Thank you, Ashley.
Good afternoon. This is Rafael Aguilar, Director of State Federal Programs.
Raul, for some reason, we didn't hear you. But that's okay. We know you're there.
And this is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Any other school staff or someone who, anyone else? School legal counsel.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
Thank you, Bill. We see you momentarily. Anyone else who's presenting any agenda items, please announce yourself. Okay, we'll just move forward then. This is the April 29th meeting. April 29th meeting. I keep saying April 29th. I want to say August 29th for some reason because it's my birthday. But anyway, this is April 29th. And we need a vote to approve the agenda.
Charles Sinegada, so moved.
Jackie Giacomazzi, the second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda for the April 29th meeting. All those in favor say aye.
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 Let's call the roll.
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
Julie Kaiches.
Aye.
Charles Sinegada.
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. We now need a motion to approve the minutes from the March 11th, 2021 meeting.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
Julie Keitch's second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Katrina, could you call the roll, please?
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
Julie Keitch's.
Aye.
Charles Sanagata.
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi.
Aye.
We'll now move in. The motion passes unanimously. We're going to move the consent agenda, which is item two. All the items listed under this consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. We'll be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. So item A, consent agenda. There's two consent agenda items. And is there anyone who wants to break those out and discuss them? And if not, we'll ask for a motion.
Julie Keitch's, I have a question on page 108 regarding the retirement savings plan. It says the organization may make matching contributions to the amount you have contributed. Do we do that?
Mr. President, do you want to take that as a separate item then?
Yes, we will do that separately. Thank you. So I would entertain a motion then to to accept the consent item, agenda item number one. Do we have a motion for the English Learner Master Plan?
Julie Keitch's second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion on the revised English Learner Master Plan? If not, could you call the roll, please?
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Julie Keitch's?
Aye.
Charles Sanagata?
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi?
Aye.
It's motion passes unanimously. We'll now move into consent agenda item number two. We would need a vote to approve this before we open discussion. I have a motion to approve it.
I so move.
Jackie seconds a motion.
Moved and seconded to approve the revised employee handbook. Now we'll open it up for discussion.
Julie Keitch's, I'd just like to address the retirement savings plan on page 108. And it says the organization may make matching contributions to the amounts you have contributed. I would like to know how that works, or if they match 50-50, or how that works, please.
Is there a school staff member there, Geeta, or someone can address this?
This is Shelley Haynes. I can take that one.
All right, Shelley.
So our employees do benefit from a match from the organization, and we will match up to 10% of their contributions. They can put in, I think that clarified it. 10% of the employee contributions are matched.
Yeah, this is Jeff Brown.
Explain that to Shen. So it's 10% of their gross income, and there's a limit of $19,500 that if they reach that, unless they're 50 or older, that's the max that the company, the school contributes. If they are 50 and older, they have catch-up contribution, and they can add to that. But the school does not contribute beyond that. So it's 10% of their salary, up to $19,000, which is the max amount for 403.
Thank you, Geeta.
Thank you, Geeta. Any other questions or discussion concerning this consent agenda item two? in the employee handbook. If not, I will call for a vote. Katrina, could you call the roll, please?
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Julie Kaiches?
Aye.
Charles Sinegada?
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We are now going to move into Section 3, Public Comment. Katrina, could you read that for us, please?
Sure. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for future meeting.
Thank you, Nakrina. Has anyone expressed an interest in addressing the board, Nakrina?
No, there has been no members of the public who submitted written comments.
Thank you very much. We're now going to move into item number 4, which is full reports and information, starting with Lindsay Boggs and the principal update.
Mr. Rennie, there is just a small change to that. Lindsay Boggs went out on leave of absence today, actually. And so Ashley Taylor, who's the Learning Center coordinator, will be providing the principal update and the WASP update. So, Ashley.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. And I'm sorry, again, this is Ashley Taylor, Learning Center coordinator, and my internet is a little bit choppy, so if you can't, please let me know. Okay, so I will start with the principal update. So first off, our enrollment is still continuing to grow, you know, despite everything. Right now, we are at 1,174 students enrolled. So it just it keeps climbing. And then for our academic update for our CTE, Career Tech Ed, in the first 9 weeks of the session, we had 16 students complete a dual enrollment course at West Hills College. And then we currently in the session now have 33 students that are enrolled and they will be finishing soon. And the courses that we offer for those students are College Success, Health Development, Business, Health, and Medical Terminology. So those students get both college credit and high school credit. And then for our state testing, our CASP testing, we tested the first 2 weeks in our window. We had 23 12th graders take the CASP test and 237 11th graders complete the SBAC. And then we are planning, working on our graduation details and plans right now. So we are anticipating 157 graduates between both sites. Our ceremony is Wednesday, May 26th from 10 to 12, and Hanford is the following day, Thursday, May 27th from 10 to 12. And it's similar to what we've done before. We will be doing a walkthrough graduation where students and families will have appointed times, and families will be able to be close to their students. So as they're walking by, getting all of their photos, their diploma, we have swag bag. Parents will be able to take photos up close. And we can't leave out the traditional rose given to the students for them to give someone after the ceremony. And also be live streamed. So if you can't attend in person, you'll be able to see it like last time live streamed. And then a couple celebrations and updates. So at our Hanford site, we just started something called Virtual Hanford. And what that is, it gives students immediate access to subject matter teachers. So they log on to the web math English class and get help. So that way, if they're not able to come to the site, they can get instant help from home. And then we have some new hires. So we just hired a Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now.
Okay. I'm almost done. I thought I could get through it.
I lost you at new hires. Oh. I lost you at new hires when you were
new
there.
Hires. Okay. I'll repeat some of that. We have some temporary teachers in April filling in for teachers out on leave, Philip Newman and Betsy Lutz, and then some teachers that will be onboarded in May, Angelina Leon and Zacharias Lazaro. They will be teaching science. Laura Noel, she is a social science teacher, and then also Lisa Polder for special ed. So lots of new staff coming on.
Thank you.
And so for the principal report, that concludes that part. So our team's here to answer any questions.
Any questions for the board members concerning Ashley's very thorough report?
Good job, Ashley.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think your calling in virtual thing is very good for these kids that need help. Any other questions or thoughts? If not, we'll move into Ashley telling us about the WASC report, the WASC update.
Okay. So for the WASC update, so we just finished our Kings Valley WASC virtual visit yesterday. And I just want to first start off by thanking the board for being supportive throughout this process, and then thank board member Jackie Giacomazzi for meeting with them. So we had a very positive virtual visit. Our team was prepared when they talked about our school and answering questions. The visiting chair and committee, they said a lot of great things about our school. They enjoyed the visit. They wish they could have done it in person to see more of what we're doing, but they think we're doing a great job helping our students succeed, and they felt our staff was transparent and dedicated. So that's what they felt. And then they also shared some school-wide areas of strength to celebrate, and then some areas for improvement that our school will continue to grow in. So since some areas of strength that we are celebrating they met standards. They appreciated the development and use of our student PLPs, which are personalized learning plans. We accommodate the different learning styles for students. We have a small one-on-one setting for both counseling and helping students and address data, curriculum, and discuss best practices. And then some areas of improvement, again, that we are going to continue to grow in. Increasing student retention and attendance to improve credit completion. Increasing parent communication and attendance, increasing student investment in assessments and self-advocacy to increase their learning, and improve our senior tracker for our DAW seniors for post-secondary plans. So, and again, thank you for your support.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions for Lindsay? If not, we're going to move into new teacher project. Shelley's going to address that.
Good afternoon. I just want to confirm with somebody on the screen that you can actually see my report.
Is that slide 2 through 38 that I'm looking at?
It sure is.
Okay, I was wondering how that showed up.
I took control of that.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
So this is the new teacher project, item 4C, that we've been talking about for quite some time. I feel like I've been giving you updates for what seems like in COVID time about a couple of years, And so now it's finally time that we can share some of the things that we've learned and our findings from this project. I joked about it feeling like a couple of years, but in reality, it's been about 18 months that we sought out to find a partner that could provide independent research and then provide feedback on what we feel is our greatest assets. Those things being our culture and the relationships that we build with our kids. So in this presentation today and how the report is broken down is that I'll share with you a quick overview. I'll also share the methodology of how we found our students and how the interviews went, key trends and findings, and then what the recommendations were from TNTP. So let's dig in. So I wanted to share the what. This study has been a collaborative process between TNTP, our LLAC team members that included Caprice Young, our national superintendent, Wendy Breno and Jessica Shopoff from LLAC, who are writers and data experts. And I'm not sure if they're on the line. There were a few numbers I didn't recognize, but they were partners in that. Kings Valley Administration, students and staff, and then teammates, both staff and students across the entire Learn for Life network were a part of this project. So it was a big project. Just, you know, on a personal note, it's been a great process, and I know the project is not about me, but I've learned about data collection and just the entire research process. So I wanted to give a shout out and share that I'm super appreciative of the team that I've worked with for about the last year and a half on this. And then also to just thank the board for being patient with all of the updates. There were a couple of delays along the line. And then just being super supportive over the last year and a half. So, and then I also wanted to share with you the why it was important to find a partner instead of just, you know, having, you know, a Shelleyism or a Capriceism. You know, we can, you know, tout about our program all day, every day. But it was important to not just tell the story of relationships with our kids, but to have an independent research organization be able to validate that with evidence. So we partnered with TNTP. They conducted a research study of Kings Valley Academy, and then they compared that with other Learn for Life schools in our network. The study findings will be used to scale our best practices, inform key systems and structures like how we onboard new staff and students, how we do performance management of our staff, and then most importantly, it'll inform our instructional practices. And then finally, as an add-on, it'll help us determine ways that we can celebrate the successes of Kings Valley and other schools across the network. TNTP utilized a deductive coding structure to code trends and create findings, and I'll be sharing those as we move forward. One important thing I wanted to share before I move forward is that I'm going to share some specific quotes from students and staff throughout a few slides. But those were not, I'm not sharing those as individual student experiences. They're actually being shared because those are representative of trends across our student population and our staff population. So know when you see those quotes that those are actually trends. So let me find my next button here. I want to share with you the selection process and how the data was gathered. Like, which students did we choose? And this is a little bit wordy, but there are a lot of ands in here. And I think it's important to stop here and identify how we chose successful students and staff for this project. The team identified what the success criteria were, and then that served as the minimum baseline for the participant selection. And you can see on your slide that a student to be part of this project had to be an active student on March 10th of 2020. And they had to be enrolled for 4 months, and they had to earn 2 credits in each of the last 3 learning periods, and they had to show growth in reading or math, or they had to show four credits completed in the last, an average of four credits in the last three LPs. So there was a significant amount of data that was compiled, and I'll share with you that the initial search looking at successful students resulted in a pool of 2,586 students initially. And then the next step was to use a stratified sampling method to select students and staff across the school that were reflective of age, gender, race, ethnicity, those demographics of students and the Learn for Life workforce. I put in a slide. The next slide is, don't panic. We don't actually have to read into all of these numbers, but I thought it was important so that you could see the diversity here on this first column, the demographic group. So that you could see the diversity that was reflected in the study, and that also will inform our best practices and our learning. So a wide, very diverse group that we studied. And then our students and staff were contacted via phone, email, text message, you know, the typical ways that we get a hold of our students. And then they were encouraged to register for a virtual Zoom meeting. It was not required that they participate, but we did urge them and encourage them to participate. So by the end of the study, TNTP was able to complete 135 virtual interviews. 97 teachers were contacted, and 60 of those teachers chose to participate. And 444 students were contacted, and then 75 students did choose to participate. Okay, now we're going to get into the good stuff. I'm going to share some trends and findings that TNTP has identified. So there were four trends, and then those four trends were used to identify four major findings, and then recommendations were built off of those findings. So there's kind of a domino effect here, and you may see a little bit of repetition, but that's because the trend informed the finding. So you'll see that match here. So trend one is that it was really just confirmation that students and teachers resoundingly agreed that strong relationships are an important factor in their success. So that was a trend across all staff and student interviews. That was nice to hear. That was confirmation. However, it's important to note that as we talked about defining their success, students and staff define success very widely, very differently, and we'll talk about that more a little bit further on in the presentation. Trend number two is that we are great at providing material resources. We're able to identify what our kids need when they come to us, whether it is counseling resources, could be personal care items, it might be life skills. There was a quote that I didn't include about one teacher said she's had to talk about how to get car insurance multiple times. So some of those life skills that they may not come in with. All while holding high expectations for our students. So that was great news. Trend three, it's a little bit lengthy, but it does talk about teacher professional development, and that teachers found that sometimes our professional development attempts didn't actually align with the goals that we had. So we have some work to do in that area, and teachers also identified that they learned a lot about how to support their students, maybe less through professional development, but more through peer coaching and peer interactions and sharing best practices. So we'll also revisit that in our findings. And then trend four, TNTP found that there were no meaningful differences between Kings Valley Academy students or practices, not students, but practices compared to the rest of the schools in the Learn for Life network. And I think that's, you know, a testament to how closely we work, whether it's our principal team or our superintendent teams across the regions, is that our practices are very much aligned and that we can support each other. And so those are the four general trends across the research. And then those trends were used to establish findings. And so again, this is going to sound like I've said it before, because I have. We actually do have strong relationships with our students. And then one little story I wanted to share is early on in our TNTP partnership, we would meet, actually it was pretty often at the beginning, and then once the research started, it was about once a month or so. And on one of the calls, I remember one of the TNTP members said, you know, we work with a lot of organizations and schools that say they have good relationships, but you guys actually do. Like, it's a real deal. And so she made just a comment. It was kind of a personal comment that she was actually surprised and very impressed that we don't just talk the talk, but we do walk the walk. So I'm particularly proud of this finding. I did want to share for each of the findings, I pulled one quote. And so this is one quote that a student shared. Just for those people who don't have it, I'm going to read it. When you have a good relationship with your teacher, you want to do good for yourself and make them proud of you. So it's that relationship that maybe a student might not be feeling it, but they also know they want to make their teacher proud. So it does urge them to come to school and succeed. So I thought that was a great quote from one of the students. Finding two, as TNTP interviewed staff and students, we found that we all define success in a variety of different ways. For some, that might mean that they completed their homework or that they came to school that day. That is their definition of success. Others define success in longer term goals like going to college, having money, or even home ownership. What TNTP was able to identify is that that successful teachers were able to make the connection for students that earning credits is related to graduation, and the graduation is related to going to college, and that then that is supported by being financially stable and then eventually home ownership. That there's a progression to these successful steps, and that is what our most successful teachers are doing. So we will identify that as a best practice that we need to build into across the board. So let's see, I wanted to share a quote related to finding two also. And again, I'll read it. Students, this is student response. I have 60 kids left, and she definitely sat down with me, and we made a plan. And she holds all of our credit tracker charts. She printed one out, and we made a plan that was going to allow me to get the credits that I need to get turned in. She definitely helped me realize that I needed to buckle down and do what I needed to do. And I realized I should have just bolded that last sentence. I needed to buckle down and do what I need to do. So we also continue to hold our kids to high expectations while we do that. Finding number three, the TNTP coded the responses from interviews and identified those that were teacher attributes that led to strong relationships. And I'm just going to pull this from the slide, is our teacher attributes, or successful teacher attributes, provided material resources. We demonstrated personal care, empathy, and understanding for our students, all while holding them to higher expectations. And that was the key part, is that we don't, you know, feel sorry for our kids and water it down. You still have to succeed. At the same time, TNTP noted, teachers, although we're really good at recognizing students that are under-resourced, we struggle to support with systemic issues like poverty and mental health. A specific example of that would be to recognize that poverty doesn't define who a student is. It actually is a situation that a student is in, and that we can recognize that and stand side by side with our students to help them identify ways to end the cycle of the poverty that they are currently in. So that would be an example of us learning to support with systemic barriers. And a student response I pulled for that, the student says, I say this a lot, but he's a pusher, speaking of his teacher. He really pushes, and that's going to stick with me. After graduation, I'm going to remember to push through and how my high school teacher helped me to do that. I'm thankful for that, honestly. He pushes me. So this is an example of a teacher instilling grit and perseverance in their student. And then finding four, the TNTP research team found that professional development and evaluations are not always consistently aligned with the efforts to build strong student relationships. The teachers pointed out that they felt that they learned more through peer collaboration and self-reflection. So you'll see a teacher quote coming up that will also lead to one of our next steps. So this teacher response says, I admitted I don't have your experiences sometimes, but we can work together and understand each other through those differences. And I think that was one of the things that I had to unlearn, the stereotypes of what a teacher is. So TNTP has identified that our teachers have the ability and can unlearn some of the things or ideas that they had before they came to our program. So that is positive. There we go. And then TNTP has pointed out some things that we are great at and some things that we should keep doing. One of the goals of this is to identify our best practices so that we can celebrate those and then teach to those. So we will celebrate some of the things that Learn for Life Network schools do. So not just Kings Valley, but other schools throughout the network. The best practices that we will absolutely keep doing is we must keep small caseloads. That's an absolute benefit to our kids. We will continue to provide individualized instruction. We have flexible scheduling. And then on top of that, it's important that we keep our communication with our students and families frequent and persistent. And you've heard these things, you know, in previous board meetings. We use phone calls, texts, emails, any way we can. We've just exhausted all of those measures. So those are our best practices. And then we continue to provide resources for our kids, and I listed a few of them there. They may be counselors, tutors, it might be food, even security on our campuses. Those are the resources that are most beneficial to our kids. TNTP also identified best practices at the LLAC level that they can continue to support with. Further, they identified best practices by departmental support. So the executive team at LLAC can continue to provide high expectations. We expect the best from our students and our staff, and that we continue to use a strengths-based approach to serving our opportunity youth. Our people services, many staff said they came to our program based on word of mouth referrals. And so we need to continue to use that as a marketing strategy to bring in the best. So we will continue that practice. We will continue with our performance management, which will be also within our people services department, to provide or help adults with individual goals and support with performance conversations. So this would be part of our performance management framework. And then professional development. The idea here is that we don't actually need more professional development. We actually just need to make sure it's specific and targeted to the goals that we have as an organization. So we will keep our professional development best practices, but also make sure that it's specific to our needs. And then now to the recommendations based on the trends and findings. TNCP recommends the following next steps from the study. And I couldn't help but put a big giant red check mark on this one because we're actually already in the process and actually towards the end of the process. So I felt comfortable red check marking it. This is already in the works, led by Pete Faraja, which you all know. The Learn for Life superintendents are a part of this work, as well as the LLAC leadership. We are working together to align our visions, defining what success means, and then outlining a joint strategic plan between the Learn for Life sites and LLAC as a supporting organization. I work with my local team. They provide input, and so that we can bring that to the larger table so that we make sure that our practices are in line with one another, and so that we all have the same definition of success and the same vision to support that. So I feel comfortable with and actually proud. This is the first time this work is really being done. It's collaboratively, so I'm proud of that big red check mark there. And then the second recommendation has been shared with our people services department. And we've made a commitment to reevaluate our recruitment and onboarding processes to ensure that the folks that we bring onto our team share the same vision and definition of success that we do. So they are creating, there's no check mark here yet, but it's the process will start. They are creating look fors so that we can make sure that folks coming onto our team can really support. And then recommendation three also has a big red check mark. A performance management framework has already been identified and established. Trainings are beginning as we speak, actually. This new framework, it's called Clear Review, will support our staff in regular goal setting and performance conversations. And then finally, I was really tempted to check this box, but we're not quite far along and long enough in the process. We have recently hired a professional development coordinator in our region, as some of you may know, Sandy Vang. To support with the scope and sequence of professional development. And she will work in tandem with LLAC professional development team to make sure that any professional development offerings will align with our vision and expected outcomes. So we have lots of work to do in this area, but we're definitely on the right track. And then we have a couple of action steps. Our first action step was to share this information with our executive team at LLAC and the area superintendents. And you'll see that we did that actually a couple of weeks ago. And then our next step was to present to the Kings Valley Board, which is happening now. So I wanted to get one more red check in there. And then we will be convening work groups to meet regularly to evaluate the recommendations and to ensure that this study actually takes root and we take these action steps and move them forward. And I really just wanted to wrap, it's a lot of information, but wrap up by thanking the board for their support in this research project. It was a long time in the making, and the pandemic didn't help in that process. It slowed us down a little bit, but we gained super valuable information that'll help us better support our students. And so again, thank you to the board, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right. Do we have any questions? I'm sure there's got to be one or two.
Julie Keiches here. You know, this is a whole lot of work, and I'm not totally comfortable with all of it. My whole purpose in my love and support of what we're doing from the day one I saw the love and care and between teacher and student always. I mean, that's why these teachers are here. I've talked to them, lots of them. So it's like, why all of a sudden are we learning? Are we thinking we need to have teachers do this? Don't they? They do. It seems they do to me. It seems like taking something that's working pretty well and making it a little more complicated. I don't know. You know,
I'd love to take that one on, Julie, because for years, I mean, I feel like I can walk onto any of our centers and I already know what we do. I mean, I know about the relationships and I'm very comfortable and I can preach that all day long. But I think that this goes a long way too. Charters are always under fire. And so we don't just justify to like our parents and to the board. There's always somebody that we need to justify to. And so to have an outside organization that's not somebody who's on our team come in and validate that is something that we can then take to the assembly or the Senate floor. Those are things that we can use to defend our program to people who can't actually see it with their own eyeballs.
I understand that, Shelley. Thank you for that. My other question is, of all the schools, why did we choose this one? Is this a test? Are we going to be doing this in all the schools, or are we going to implement this program throughout the others?
So I wouldn't actually say it's a program. It's not a program that we're implementing. It was just a way to identify the things that we're really good at and then also be able to identify the areas of improvement. And what we learned is that what we can improve in Kings Valley, and to be quite honest, Kings Valley was my home school. That's where I started. And so that was the school that I chose in our region. But what we found is that what we improve at Kings Valley will also improve throughout the rest of, you know, the North region or throughout the rest of the organization. So the practices that we put in place, we would put in place across the network. For example, yes. For example, if we changed our onboarding, like how we onboard staff with new teacher training as they're first onboarded into Learn for Life, that would be shared across the organization and we would all benefit from that.
Well, thank you for helping me to understand. I think our teachers are exceptional, just like all nurses can't be an oncology nurse. All teachers can't teach at our schools. It takes someone really dialed in with that heart.
Absolutely. And we see that all the time. I mean, there's nobody who ever comes onto our campuses that questions that. But there are a lot of people who don't get the opportunity to come into our campus and look into our kids' eyeballs that sometimes we need that extra validation.
I get it. Yeah. I hear you. Thank you, Shelley.
Uh-huh. Anybody else? Nikrina, then I will throw the presentation back to you. And we can go back to the agenda. Thank you, everybody, for your time, and thank you, Board, for your support.
Thank you, Shelley.
Sure thing.
You there, Art?
You're on mute, Mr. Rennie.
Is Chuck, are Chuck and Jackie here?
Maybe everybody's still on mute.
I'm sorry.
I think Gita's up next, but let's see if we can get Art back on.
Should I go ahead?
Well, we want to make sure the board members are hearing.
Yeah.
Art's name is not listed on the list of guests anymore.
Oh, good observation. Maybe he needs to call back in.
Oh, there he is. He's in.
Yeah, I called back in.
So, Art, I think we're ready to move forward with Gita's presentation.
Yes. My computer just decided it was tired of that program or something. And there I am. I'm back.
Okay.
Finance update. Item D, Gita.
Thank you. Thank you, Board. I have two updates under the finance update. One is a summary of a rotating line of credit through Hanmi Bank, which you can find on PDF page on your packet, page 134. So this is just for your information. This is just a summary of the rotating line of credit, and it shows the interest rate the bank charges, the covenant, the expiration date, the line of credit, the expanded line of credit. So this is just a summary page for your reference. If you ever have any questions, you can refer to that. So I know we've been talking about it, so we just wanted you to have a one-page summary of this line of credit. The second item I'd like to discuss is a state grant that was awarded to the school. It's called Expanded Learning Opportunity. The expanded learning opportunity for the school is almost $1 million. It's $999,455, of which 9.7% of it must be allocated and restricted to paraprofessional. This is a one-time funding. That portion of the restricted fund is $96,546 for paraprofessionals. The funding will be received by the school in two portions, 50% in the month of May of 2021 and 50% in August of 2021. The full funding must be spent by August 2022. So, this funding will be reflected in the budget for the school in the next fiscal year, and it is there. It was awarded to fill the gap of the learning loss for the students coming back to the school. So, that concludes my report. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Any questions on item D, finance update? If not, we'll move to item E. Shelley is going to talk about LCAP goals and metrics.
Thank you. So item E, LCAP goals and metrics, you can find in your packet on pages 136 and 137 for reference. That's the overview of goals and metrics. And just as a reminder, the LCAP is a three-year plan that describes our goals, actions, and services, and the expenditures to support positive student outcomes that address both state and local priorities. The LCAP provides an opportunity for local educational agencies to share the stories of how, what, and why we use the programs and services that we use. As mentioned in the document, last year the LCAP was put on hold by the state legislature, and the Learning Continuity Plan, or the LCP, which the board gave input on and voted for, took its place in order to create a plan that was designed to address the new learning context created by the COVID-19 pandemic. Currently, the school stakeholders, including staff, parents, and students, are examining the school performance data, developing goals and actions that are based on addressing the 8 state priorities. The state priorities have required metrics that address 3 main areas: their conditions of learning, people outcomes, and engagement. And schools are also asked to utilize local metrics that are specific to their programs. Today, we're discussing our goals and metrics and asking for any feedback the board may have. And then finally, we'll compile the feedback from our stakeholders, we'll edit our drafts to reflect that feedback, and then submit our LCAP for the 21 through 24 school years. This year, one change we're proposing is to reduce the number of goals from 5 to 4 and then add new metrics to help us measure the success of the program. Previously, our LCAP goals were were five of them. Goal number one was to increase student retention. Goal number two was to increase student credit completion towards high school diploma. Goal three was to improve student basic skills and computer literacy. Goal four was students will gain college and career readiness. And then goal number five was to increase stakeholder involvement. This year, we're proposing four goals. And goal number one is to increase academic progress. Goal number two is students will gain skills for college and career readiness. And then goal three is to increase student retention. And finally, goal four would be to increase stakeholder engagement. Specifically, the changes were made to goal number one, which was shifted to increase academic progress. And as a school, we feel student learning should be our focus every year, but we wanted to more clearly define what that meant to us. Instead of having a goal that only focuses on just credit completion, we wanted to have a goal that captures all of the academic progress students make, which would include reading and math, moving reading and math grade levels, growing in their their LPAC testing, increased graduation rates, and then also increasing credit completion. Goal number three would be to improve student basic skills and computer literacy. That goal was removed. After consulting our staff and looking at the data this past year, we found that we could adequately address that need through curriculum and instruction rather than having that be one focused goal. Goal number four, students will gain skills for college and career readiness. That goal will stay the same. Although we've made significant progress towards the goal by adding programs such as CTE courses, dual enrollment courses, and establishing partnerships with local colleges, we're also making sure more courses are A to G aligned and approved. So we feel strongly that there is more work to be done on goal number four, gaining skills for college and career readiness. Goal number five has been changed from increasing stakeholder involvement to increasing stakeholder engagement. And we liked the word engagement more because we wanted our stakeholders not to just show up, but to be an active participant and fully engaged in the success of our school. We thought it was important for them to know that we didn't actually just want to hear from them, but that their voices actually mattered. So we are excited about these four goals, and I would be happy to take any of the board's thoughts on those goals or feedback.
Any thoughts anyone has in reference to what was just presented? Hello?
Julie Kaiches, I just want to say, Shelley, that was absolutely wonderful the way you've tweaked those goals and put them together and consolidated and make them very user-friendly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. We'll let you tell us about the CDE notification.
Sure thing. Item 4F is the CDE notification of the 2019-2020 annual determination pursuant to the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act and selection for the 2020-2021 special education monitoring activities. And that is found on page 139 to 142 in your PDF packet. We have Heather Stube on the line. She's our Director of Special Education. This is her area of expertise. So I'm going to ask her if she will support in this item.
Great. Good afternoon, board members. Thank you, Shelley. As she mentioned, you did receive a document in your package regarding this agenda item. The Quality Determination Report is an annual report provided to each LEA as part of like the quality assurance process around special education data on specific performance indicators. These letters notify each LEA of their status in meeting those state established thresholds. We are required to analyze those areas that didn't meet the target and construct responses to improve outcomes. However, the effect of COVID, the state recognizes that a lot of the data is unavailable or incomplete, so there won't be new determinations for the 2020-2021 school year. Those won't be performed, but we will be required to continue the improvements we identified back in 2019 and 2020. So therefore, there's no change to King Valley's status, and we'll continue our monitoring areas in the performance of dropout rate, as was previously submitted and approved by the CDE. So I'm happy to answer any questions you might have on the subject.
Questions for Heather. Thank you, Heather. I don't know if there's any board members with a question.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Shelley, and thank you, Heather. We'll move to item G, the report by Jeff Martineau concerning area superintendent performance review.
Good afternoon, President Rennie and board members. On pages 144 to 155 of the board packet, you will find a draft of the area superintendent evaluation tool for your consideration of use during the 2021-2022 school year. The draft evaluation tool and rubric was created in collaboration with the area superintendents and is comprised of four focused areas of performance. Focused area one, governance and board relations. Focused area two, family and community relations. Focused area three, business and finance. And focused area four, instructional leadership. These four areas are essential in driving school improvement and student achievement, setting charter priorities and goals, and developing a positive relationship between the area superintendent and the board. The attached draft area superintendent evaluation tool is provided to you for board review. At this time, I welcome any input and feedback that the board may have.
Any board members have a question for Jeff at this point? Jeff, we look forward to working with you on this project.
Thank you.
If there's no comments from any other board member, we'll move into action items, action five. We're going to be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. And we'll talk towards that.
Hello, board. This is Gita with LLAC. So the manual for the school is a fluid document. As you know, if there's always any update or any regulations that we come across, we'll recommend that to the school to be added to the manual. This section, which if you refer to pages 157 to 158, has an added language which was recommended under a cash reserve policy. We do recommend the board to adopt a cash reserve policy, even though California Department of Education does not require the charter schools to adopt a cash reserve policy, but they do for the districts. So the school would, we would recommend they follow suit because it's, especially during COVID, all the uncertainties that the school went through and even now during deferrals and all the challenges the school had to maintain a good financial health. I believe it's a good practice to have adopted cash reserve policy. So that's what's recommended, and the language is on the last page, 158, for the board to review. So that's what we are recommending. And that concludes my section, and if there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Any questions for Gita? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the report and approve the revised charter school accounting manual.
Jackie Giacomazzi makes a motion to approve the manual.
Thank you,
or revision.
I have a second.
Julie Keitch's second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? If not, Negrina, could you call the roll, please?
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Julie Keitches?
Aye.
Charles Sanagata?
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We'll now move into Corporate officers, board members' observations, Mr. Brown.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Yeah, I Ashley, I want to thank you for your presentation in place of the principal. It was well done, and I appreciate that. A new staff coming in is always great to hear. You're welcome. Nice to see you all. It's even though it's semi-seeing you, it's okay. It's better than nothing, I think. Julie, I want to make a comment on what your concern was. And I actually, somebody's still, is there like any lot of kickback here? Who's not muting? Julie, what your concern was, I think it's very valid. However, after seeing the study of TNPT, what it does is, I think, justifies your question. We assume that we're going to have this type of program and our teachers are all going to be dedicated and they're all going to be with it. We're finding out that that's pretty true. And that I think the study does show that program. Beyond that, I noticed some things in the findings I thought were interesting. The trends are consistent. And your question is, Kings Valley was the homeschool, and that's Shelley's choice. But it was consistent throughout the study. I found that to be very interesting. And another thing I found interesting was the comment that the peer group watches the teachers. They watch each other. And when there is a teacher that is really not as dedicated, I'm sure they're reminded by the teachers that are around. So it was really, I felt very, very, very confident that the test, the study that TNP did was valid. I think that is something that we certainly will be able to find out what the truths are. We know what we know what we think we are doing, and we are doing. And I think 99%, 99.9% of what we thought we were doing, we are. And this justifies that. So, Shelley, I want to thank you so much for that presentation. It was well done. Your responses were great. And if you're going to run for office, I'll support you.
It's up for consideration.
Back to you, Mr. President.
All right. Any other comments from our board members?
This is Julie Teiches. Jeff, I just want to thank you for your comments. Certainly, you've been around from day one longer than I have, and I appreciate the way you put this together and support it. That helps me. So thank you, Jeff.
I thank you. I am so proud to be honored in a way to be part of this organization and to watch these folks that continually, day after day, put themselves forward. She mentioned it started at 2020 in March. That was the beginning of COVID. Look at they managed to come through it. I think it's well done. Yes, I am honored to be part of this company. Thank you so much, Julie.
Any other thoughts from board members?
This is Jackie Giacomazzi. I just wanted to tell you that I was happy to be a part of the WASC team. I was interviewed by a woman named Margaret for about 20, 25 minutes, and she told me to tell you that I did a good job telling her how wonderful the school was. But I was sorry to see that she didn't attend and go to the school site to really see it, because you really need to go there to see what's going on. Certainly. And I'm sorry she only had to have like a Zoom shot of it or however she did it. But anyway, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of that.
Thank you, Jackie. Job well done. Appreciate you doing that. Board member, any other observations or comments? If not, the next board meeting is May 19th at 8 p.m. And I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Julie Keiches, I so move.
Jackie Giacomazzi seconds.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. I will ask Macrina to call the roll.
Arthur Rennie.
Aye.
Julie Kaiches.
Aye.
Charles Sanegata.
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. See you all soon.